Proverbs. Now, we've been working our way through the books of the Bible, and we are in the third book of poetry. We went through the law, then we went through the history books, understanding the pre-captivity, post-captivity books, and how they tie in with the prophets. We are now right in the middle of the Old Testament in book number 3 of poetry. When we hear poetry, we think last word of the sentence is going to rhyme. That's the way we do it in the West. In the East, the way God laid out his Bible is poetry is organization of thought. So God contrasts the wicked do this, but a wise man does this. So there's contrast, and God wants you, you know what happens when you read your Bible? God wants to transform your mind, like it says in Romans 12. God wants to change your thinking, and that only happens when you read the Bible. We're supposed to read the Bible, study the Bible, sing the Bible, but what's the thing we're told to do most? Meditate. There's more commandments to meditate on the Word of God than there is anything else. Why? Because God's trying to change your thinking. God wants His thoughts in your mind. So, poetry in the Bible is organization of thought. Now, the word proverb means more than meets the eye or hidden meanings. So by the nature of the book, you're not supposed to, I don't think you're ever supposed to read your Bible like a newspaper, okay? But if there was ever a book that you weren't supposed to read like a newspaper, it's Proverbs. You're supposed to read it, think. Read, think. What is God saying to me? What is the hidden meaning? What does God want me to learn from this verse? If I get a chance, I'm going to do that a little bit with you this morning. The Proverbs video is on our website. I walk you through, and it's like reading the Bible with your pastor. I'll read a verse, give you a thought. Read a verse, give you a thought. I don't know if we'll get that this morning, but just the very name of the book tells you you're supposed to read and think. Now, let me see here. If you understand, okay, watch this. The division or outline of the book, the purpose of the book is Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Then chapters 1 through 9 introduces you to the wisdom that is in chapters 10 to 29. Okay? So God preps you before you get His wisdom and says, here's some things that will hinder what I'm about to give you. So I made a little note over here, there, and we'll go over through this here in just a second. Let's look at the purpose of the book. Okay? Chapter 1, look at verses 1 through 4. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Just so you know, Solomon didn't write all these. God used Solomon to compile them. He wrote most of them, but not all of them. That's why they're called the Proverbs of Solomon. Okay. Then, son of David, king of Israel, verse 2. Why is the book of Proverbs there? To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, there's the word wisdom twice, justice and judgment and equity, and then here we go, here's the purpose, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. What's a simple person in the Bible? The word simple means unfolded or uncreased. How do you crease fabric? You fold it and then you press it. Right? The word simple means unfolded or uncreased. What does that mean? For a young person, normally we could refer, I know the word teenager is not found in the Bible, but we would say this. As a young person, your life is uncomplicated or uncreased right now. You're not a father and a husband and a employee and as your life gets folded, and more complicated, you become less simple. Right now, to the young man that is unfolded or unpleated, God says the time to get my wisdom in your life is when you're young. That's why I tell the teenagers, the whole Bible's important, but the most important book a teenager can read is the book of Proverbs. Because it's written to give the young person wisdom for life. Now, let's clarify something here. So we understand the purpose of the book of Proverbs is verses 1 through 4, and you see that in verse 4. When you start talking about wisdom, it's very important that you... There's two types of wisdom. There's a good wisdom and a bad wisdom, God's wisdom and the world's wisdom. To understand that, you're in Proverbs. Go to chapter 2 real quick. Chapter 2, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 2, look at verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. When God speaks, this is what comes out of his mouth. There's only one way you get God's wisdom, and that's from God's word. So what is wisdom? You got to define it. Because to a Christian, wisdom, the wisdom I want to raise my kids to be a good husband, to be a proper pastor, to be a proper Christian, is godly, biblical wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God. Now take your Bible, go all the way back to near the book of Revelation to the book of James, and let's look at the other wisdom. There's a wisdom I do not want, okay? James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And I think what's really neat about this is just like Proverbs has a lot of verses that you can read and it stands alone in its wisdom, the book of James in the New Testament, James chapter 3, verse 14, the book of James is called the Proverbs of the New Testament. So what Proverbs is to the old, the book of James is to the New Testament. That's how come a lot of people will quote James. They'll say, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's James. Doesn't that verse stand alone? I mean, that verse will last you all week long. You know what I mean? So if I know to do good and I don't do it, then that is sin to me. Okay? So, a lot of little standalone verses there. Look at James 3. Look at verse 14. Ready? But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, stop. What kind of wisdom? The wisdom that causes strife and division and glorying in yourself or selfishness. Watch. This wisdom that's described in verse 14 descendeth not from above. It does not come from heaven, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. There is a wisdom that is satanic. That's what the word devilish means, right? It comes out of hell. All right? So the wisdom I'm looking for to live my life, I do not... Okay, in the world, there's a worldly secular wisdom, and it's called in the street terms, it's called streetwise. Are you streetwise? Do you have... Some would call it common sense. All common sense isn't bad. But, you know, what I learned on the street out of survival. Okay. Then you need to be careful, because a lot of what you learned needs to be refined. Look, to be able to read somebody and read people, that isn't what this is talking about. You ever heard somebody say, well, I learned what I learned through the school of hard knocks. I learned it. Do you know what you're saying when you say that? You're saying, I was not wise, I never applied biblical principle, and I've learned what I've learned through beating. So I wouldn't brag about it, but I fully understand that. You understand? I understand when somebody says, I learned what I learned through hard knocks. But just realize, to me, that isn't bragging ground. Here's bragging ground. I was raised in a Christian home. My mom and dad were Christians. The Bible that they taught me, I applied, and I didn't go through life getting a beating. I would say that's bragging ground. Right? I applied what was taught. And I didn't have to get wrapped up in drugs and alcohol and fornication and the whole everything. I didn't have to get beat to death to finally get some sense knocked in my head. That's bragging ground. Now, if you understand, watch this. If you could, God says, analyze thinking, there's a wisdom that comes from hell. It's earthly, sensual. It's all based on what you taste, feel, smell, hear. And it's out of hell. Watch what happens in James. Ready? Look at, that's verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. When there is bickering and contention and strife, that's a powerful verse. Something's wrong. Life isn't supposed to be that way. If I could help you get God's wisdom, the wisdom that's from above and not from below, you'd never have an argument again with your spouse. If I could strive for God's wisdom, God's viewpoint through His eyes, seeing life through God, if I could get God's wisdom, I can learn how to get along. Anybody can live with anyone if they're willing to be a nobody. There's a way of, somebody said, you know, all the riots and stuff that are happening, and boy, life is dangerous. Okay, let me give you one viewpoint. If you found yourself in a mob that was rioting, okay, take this the right way. You weren't paying attention to what was going on. Mobs and riots don't just, wow, where'd that come from? They grow. You mean all of a sudden you found yourself in the middle of, you must have been in oblivion or looking at your phone or something stupid, right? You lost contact with awareness. If I see a mob growing or a crowd growing, I go the other way. I don't go, hey, what y'all talking about? Your awareness, watch this. God says a wise man will avoid strife. Look, I don't want to kill anybody, but if I have to, if somebody's coming to mind with my home and breaking into my house to hurt my family and my wife, yeah, they better be able to identify him by their feet, because I'm going to blow his head off. You say, oh my goodness. I'm supposed to protect my family, and a man that doesn't provide for his own is worse than an infidel, the Bible says. But I don't want to do that. And I pray, Lord, if that ever happens, give me the strength. But nobody, a wise man doesn't look forward to contention and strife. They prepare for it because we're all sinners. You understand? But I don't long for that, and I don't think any sane man does. I don't think, so watch this. Now that you understand, you know what? Let's finish this and let's look at the wisdom that comes from above. Then we'll go back to Proverbs. Ready? I wish you'd go home and read James chapter 3 and just think about it. Okay? But watch verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above, from heaven, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. God says, this wisdom here, its first quality is purity. You can't be pure without holiness. You can't have holiness without separation. The first quality of God's wisdom is separation. There has to be things you say, I don't let into my home, I don't let into my life, I don't let into my companion circle. There has to be things, because it's first pure, and if you cannot see that, well, no, I just love everybody. You have to draw lines. There has to be separation. Watch this, or you can't get God's wisdom. Because it's first pure. It's first separated. All right? Now, go back to Proverbs. Go back to Proverbs, right in the middle of your Bible, past Psalms, and then Proverbs. Let's look at a few things here. Now, I try to give you an overview of the book so you can read it for yourself. I can't read the whole book with you. But if I gave you an overview of Proverbs, it says in Proverbs 4, okay, here, go there. Ready? Proverbs 4, you're in Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 4. Ready? Look at verse 5. Get wisdom. Proverbs 4, verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. So wisdom is compared to a woman in the Bible. Why is that? Because wisdom only, you only get wisdom if you want it. It doesn't naturally come to you. It has to be invited. Okay? But wisdom doesn't say, here I am. That's how come this Christian, you need to be praying for wisdom. All through the book of Proverbs, wisdom is known, God uses the feminine article, her, to describe wisdom. That's because wisdom needs to, no, I want you. It does not initiate itself. Okay, and that was not a misogynistic statement. Okay, watch this. Look at verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Where else are you told in the Bible to say, with everything in your life, you better get this, or your life is going to be a mess? With all thy getting, get this. That's why wisdom is supposed to be the premier. I want God's wisdom. I want God's view. I want to be able to know myself, my God, and my neighbor. I want to see life through God's eyes, not mine. And so God says, okay, we'll move on. Do you pray for wisdom? When you read the Bible, do you say, Lord, give me your wisdom. Teach me. Change my mind and my thinking. Because it has to be invited. It has to, I want you. I need you. Or I'm going to blow it. Now, look at Proverbs chapter 1. Ready? So, wisdom needs to be prayed for. Understanding the difference between the two will help you a lot. Okay? Now let's look at... Go to chapter 8. Let me show you something here real quick. Ready? Proverbs chapter 8. Now that we've talked about wisdom and who wisdom is, or I guess I could say the feminine article, why is wisdom compared to a woman? Look at Proverbs chapter 8 and notice how it speaks. Doth not wisdom, verse 1, doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming at the doors. Look over at verse number 20. I, wisdom, lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment. Verse 23. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. You see the article there, and it's speaking as a person. Okay? So, Proverbs 8 takes, God uses wisdom and turns it like you're talking to a person that's testifying. What is God doing? I know I've had you go to a lot of places. Keep your finger in Proverbs. Go to the New Testament, to 1 Corinthians 1:30. I got to show you this, okay? 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Here's all this talk of wisdom. You know what the Bible teaches us? You're supposed to want it with all thy getting, get it. It's the principal thing. It has to be invited. Guess who wisdom is, according to the Bible? Wisdom is Jesus. I'm not praying for wisdom, some blob or ambiguous floaty thing that I need, or a quality. When you ask God for wisdom, you know what you're praying? Lord, help me to think like you think. Help me to be a Christian. Help me to do what you want me to do. Dear Lord, yes, I need wisdom. Lord, I need you. It's the same thing. You're praying for Jesus. Just like God didn't make you get saved, God doesn't make you live anyway after you get saved. That's your choice. And it has to be invited. Jesus, please help me be like you. Help me think like you. Help me see things like you. Because, dear God, I'm hopeless. I'm a zero with a ring rubbed out. I'm worse than nothing. And without you, I'm going to fail. I have to have you. Doesn't 1 Corinthians 1:30 help? It turns the book of Proverbs into how to get in contact with the Lord. Amen. And my condition of my heart. Now, I've had you come. You got your finger in Proverbs. Go back to Proverbs chapter. We looked at chapter 8. Chapters 1 through 9 begin the introduction to wisdom that starts Proverbs 10. Okay? So, you're going to learn some hindrances to wisdom. And God says, before I give you my wisdom in 10 through 29, there are some things that if you're doing, you'll read the Bible, you'll read the book of Proverbs, but you will not get any wisdom because of the barriers you set up. What's the first barrier you're introduced to? Look at verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8. My son. Everybody see that? Chapter 1, verse 8. That's over and over and over and over again. I just read through and I drew some conclusions. Okay, what's the first thing that needs to be in a person's... And remember, this is to young people. What's the first thing that needs to be in your life? I believe an honor and a respect for your father and mother. And if you're rebelling against your parents, you cannot get God's wisdom. It's impossible. You cannot be right with God and wrong with your parents. It's impossible. Okay, here's another strong statement. You ready? You can't be right with God and wrong with your pastor if he's the pastor God has for you, right? You can't say, oh, I just love Jesus with all my heart, but man, that preacher, boy, I tell you what, I hope he just died. You can't do that. Same thing with, why? Because it's a God-given authority. Just like parents are the God-given authority to the child. Now, when a person becomes an adult, they may not have to obey their parents anymore, but watch this. There should still be an honor and a respect because that's the home God put me in. I don't care if they're a drunk or a warlock or whatever it is. God, wait a second. God put you in that home to learn. And they're either an example of what not to be or an example of what to be. But you were put there. You can't change parents, right? Well, I don't like mine, so I returned them. I said in Walmart. Amen? No matter how... That's why you say, well, my parents aren't saved. I've heard some teenagers say, well, my mom and dad aren't saved. You're still supposed to respect and honor them. It does not mean you have to... Okay, if they hand you a joint and ask you to smoke, then no, you don't have to do that. But very few parents do that, honestly. I know there's screwballs out there, okay? But let's just be normal for a minute, okay? The parents I know that smoke marijuana don't want their kids smoking it. When we visit on the bus routes, yeah, those places, I mean, reefers everywhere. They're not giving it to the kids. There's things you're supposed to learn from your parents, and there's always supposed to be an honor and a respect. And if you don't have a good attitude towards your parents, I find in the book of Proverbs that hinders you getting wisdom. Okay? What's the next thing? Now, if I work my way through the chapter, look down two verses. Look at the next verse, verse 10. Ready? My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't you allow sinners in your life. Now, Jesus was friend of sinners, but who you spend time with, who you allow to influence you, who I let in my circle of influence, God says, you better pay attention to who I call a wise person and a fool, and you better not let sinners in your circle to influence you. If you cannot separate from the wrong crowd, you cannot get God's wisdom. I find that the next thing. My son, if sinners entice thee, say no. Consent thou not. You've got to learn to say no. And a Christian that can't, that is so... Well, what are they going to think of me? Do you like me? You like me, don't you? Don't defriend me on Facebook. Oh, my goodness. Don't. When you're so controlled by the crowd, God has nothing to do with your life. And it's not because He doesn't want to. It's because you won't let Him. You cannot be controlled by what everybody thinks. And by God, there has to be some... Look, this morning in the message, you're going to find everybody needs good spiritual heroes. Everybody's supposed to have somebody or two or three or four people. When I got saved and went to church, I watched the older men, the deacons talk in the church, and they talk about what they got out of their Bible and how they, I mean, just little things in passing, and I'd just be like, wow, I was a 20-year-old man. I was like, man, when I get old, I want to be like that. I want to be faithful to church. I want to be somebody that helps my pastor. Amen. I want to be like that. Everybody needs godly spiritual heroes that encourage you. But that's up to you. Who you admire and who you esteem, that's up to you. And your hero closet, it better be clean. Or you, when you read the Bible, it'll just be a bunch of words. You won't get God's wisdom. Amen? So you got honor your father and mother. What are some hindrances to wisdom? The wrong or the foolish crowd. There's plenty of verses on that. Here we go. Take a picture of the board. It's a wonderful Bible study, okay? let's go through one more. As you read Proverbs, I think Proverbs chapter 1 is one of the strongest chapters in the Bible. And I have a sermon I preach, and I preached it here, I think, 4 years ago. But it's called My Least Favorite Bible Study. And it's out of Proverbs chapter 1. Because if you ever read it and think about what God's telling you, it'll rock your world. Look at verse number, okay, look at Proverbs 1 verse 7. Ready? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. What's the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is you understanding that God sees everything you do and you're going to give an account to God for everything you do. So if it's something you don't want to give an account to God for, then don't do it. That's why we don't just walk around killing people, right? Because God says, they're made in my image, you're made in my image, you don't mistreat what I created, right? So that's a fear of the Lord. Can God tell you no? Because that's verse chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Look at verse number, watch this, verse 24. Oh, verse 23. Ready? I'm in chapter 1, at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Verse 24, it starts getting really stout from here to the end of the chapter. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof, watch this, I also will laugh at your calamity and mock when your fear cometh. Can you imagine? God says, I want to help you. Watch this. God says, I died for you. I want to save you. I'm stretching out my arm. Come, I'll save you if you'll let me. But when you tell God no, God says, okay, then when you call, I won't answer. And here's where it gets worse to me, just meditating on these verses. If you tell God no and God can't correct you, then when your calamity and your heartbreak and your life bottoms out, God says he starts to laugh. Think about that. Can you imagine God laughing at you because you just got your heart broke? You're devastated. Isn't that what it says? All I'm doing is reading the Bible. I will laugh at your calamity, your deepest valley. I'll mock you. Can you imagine God, who knows everything, mocking? Okay, here's a mock. You ready? Oh, lost your job when you weren't expecting it. Had a whole bunch of... Oh, isn't that too bad? Boo-hoo-hoo. Go ahead and cry. Isn't that mocking? Okay, I know I do it in an imperfect way. Can you imagine God doing it in a perfect way? Can you imagine God laughing at you when the whole world, God says, I tried to tell you, but you wouldn't listen. I know some Christians, we'll end with this. Nobody tells them what to do, not even God. How does God correct you? God corrects you when you read the Bible. Look, we're supposed to repent every day, right? You repented to get saved. Great. You place your faith in Christ. Repentance isn't done. Every time you open that book, I'm opening a perfect book. I'm an imperfect person. This is an eternal book. And when it tells me things that conflict with me, I'm supposed to give. I'm supposed to go, oh, I was wrong. But if God's word can't correct you when you're just him, and then I promise you, preaching doesn't correct you. All preaching is this morning. It's going to be the preaching and teaching of the Bible. It's me telling you what the Bible says, and I'll make a few strong statements there that can encourage you, because that's God's plan, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God chose the preaching of the cross to save them that perish, and to us it's the power of God. It's one of God's ways. But Christian, you have to be able to read the Bible, and God has to be able to tell you no. And if God can't tell you no, if God can't tell you knock it off, or how about this? Can God correct you the other way? You need to start doing this. Either stop something or start something, right? If God can't do that, because I do my own thing. I run my own life. I do what I want to do. Yeah, most Christians do. Not all, praise God. But I know plenty of Christians. Nobody tells them no. Not even God. And you know what's sad? Proverbs chapter 1 kicks in. It doesn't say if you're saved or lost, God will laugh and mock at you. It says when you continually say, talk to the hand. When it's over and over and over again, God says, okay, I can't tell you what to do, then you learn from the hard knocks. And while you're getting knocked in the head, I'll laugh at you. What a chapter. Isn't that sobering? Boy, what a way to end Sunday school, right? Hey, take a picture of the board. It's a good Bible study. Okay, there's more that I didn't get to cover, but God bless you. Hey, we need to get this ready for junior church. Those back tables need to get folded up. Pull those.